anniversary of the armistice of World War I, this then is the record of those who said they had no more territorial ambitions. Czechoslovakia annihilated, Albania invaded,
is the number you have just heard. And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America. While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
That song out of Yip Yip Yap Hank 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
My home, sweet home.
All right. God bless America. Welcome to the roundtable. This is week 33, February 23rd, 2012. I'm your host and moderator, Robert Zuluaga. Our producer is Janine Stewart. Wow. Are we sure heading towards tumultuous waters and turbulent seas? You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So welcome to all of you who are lending your hearts and your minds and your ears and your life into the restoring the Republic, re-inhabiting of the Republic. We have a controversial call tonight with some of the topics that we're facing, so I ask you all to take in a deep breath, take it with a grain of salt, and with a big picture. So I thought I'd start, before we go into prayer, with an email that came as a joke. It's got a photo or two with it, but I'm going to share it anyway. And I think the words are enough to give you the sense of humor. I tend to work with elderly people, so this has a certain sense of humor to me. The email goes, "Oh my God, I'm rich. Silver in the hair, gold in the teeth, crystals in the kidneys, sugar in the blood, lead in the ass, iron in the arteries, and an inexhaustible supply of natural gas. I never thought I'd accumulate such wealth." All right. So that's my attempt to start it off on a light note. This evening we're going to be having a general introduction by the Dominion Services, which is an adjunct to the Republic and yet is intertwined in where we see the future going. So we're going to have an introduction into that. We've got a couple of press releases, which you would have received with the invitation for the call, which came out today, Copy Clutch Constitutional Congress and American Ranger Program. We also have Mark Lounsbury coming on the call to give us an update from the House. And we'll have time for questions and answers. So if you have questions and answers, feel free to send them to questions@therepublicoftheunitedstates.org, and I'll see them come through. We've got some that have accumulated over the week. All right. So, Larry, I'm going to take you at your invitation. I don't know if you received my email yet, but I will unmute you and invite you to open us with a word of prayer.
Thank you, Robert. I did indeed get that email, and I'm honored to open the call in a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, you're holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We acknowledge you as our creator and our sustainer, and our provider, our Savior. And we look to you with the promise in your word that if we trust in you and not lean to our own understanding, that you'll guide us and make our path straight. And we want to do that this evening and ask for your wisdom, your guidance and protection on the infant restored republic and on its leadership. We just thank you so much for all you've done and for the miracles that you've already performed on our behalf. And we look to you for the future with brightness and hope. And we offer all these things and these thanks and these praises in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. You know, I want to set a bit of a tone this evening. And it's just it's a collection of feelings and impressions that are coming my way. I was invited to a fundraiser this week by the Republican Party. And what's the name of that, the black candidate who was running for a while and then?
Herman Cain.
He was the key speaker at it. And so I had an opportunity to rub shoulders with some legislators and some folks who I used to work with when I was actively involved down at the state capitol, trying to help folks get interested in the Constitution at a state level. And what struck me is that there are a whole body of Americans who are sincerely desiring change for our nation, but simply just don't get the fact that they are fighting against a corporation. And so I pray that their eyes are opened up. I say that to say this. that some of the technology, some of the skill sets, some of the strategies that they're employing are just wonderful. But the tone that was set just really boggled my mind. Herman Cain, who I highly respect, he's a terrific speaker, a very impassioned man, said that the goal is to beat Barack Obama. And, you know, I just listened to that. I thought, I don't know that the goal is to beat Barack Obama, because what are you replacing it with if you have a corporation at the helm that's leading us into a new world order where you have no republic and you have no constitution? So I found that interesting that folks can galvanize their passion around not liking something as opposed to standing up for that which is the only hope that I see for our nation. So there's a lot of technology out there. My heart goes out to folks who are trying to make change, and I just pray that the cycles turn and seasons change and folks realize that there is a better way and that we've laid the foundation here in the Republic. And as tumultuous it has been this week and continues to be, I believe we need to respect one another, talk to one another, have open exchange, and iron out the bugs. So many of us are lending our hearts with good intention, and sometimes the good intentions overstep the boundaries. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome the Speaker of the House on the call. He'd like to open up with some opening remarks and give us an update, and we'll be unable to stay with us for the rest of the call. So,
Robert, I'm sorry the Speaker has not joined us yet, but we do have the Senate President Pro Tem.
Oh, okay. Well, Senate Pro Tem Jim Geiger, if you are on the line and available, welcome, and you have an opportunity to tell us what's going on in the Senate.
This is Jim Geiger. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Good evening.
A very brief update on the House and the Senate before it jointly
Excuse me, Speaker, President Pro Tem, I'm having it's not very clear. Is it possible you could speak closer to the microphone?
Okay.
Much
better?
Yeah, much better, thanks.
As far as working jointly together, the House and the Senate have been looking at the ASR, Affidavit of Sovereign Rights, and I just left the committee meeting on right before this phone call, and had about 16 people from both the House and the Senate working together expeditiously, trying to get other documents, all the surrounding documents that are related to this ASR, ready for getting it approved through the Congress. So there's a big version of that posted this week, and everybody should be able to go to republiccongress.org to the public section there and actually look at pending legislation and look at that document. Same thing with the SEAL Act. The SEAL Act has been busy, and we've actually been able to get some donations for a way for people to give donations so they can help pay for the SEAL. And if Senator Rick Weiner is on tonight, maybe we'll give him an opportunity to tell the good folks on this line here how they can do that, because he has the address and how to make your check out and all that. But the blazoning description, in other words, the artistic description of the SEAL, is something you have to be paid for and been done by a professional. And there's some costs involved with that. And, of course, the costs involved for the actual Great Seal itself will run into tens of thousands of dollars. So if anybody wanted to donate towards that cost, they would be able to tell their children and their grandchildren that they helped pay for the seal, and that would be something, a great family tradition for you to have in your family. On to Senate business, and that's going to tie in with some of the press releases that the president did earlier this week, and I'm sure you're probably going to read those tonight. So I won't read that myself. But the Ethics Committee in Congress and the Senate has finished their investigation, and in fact, this past Tuesday night, one of the senators that was on the periphery of what was going on and didn't understand was very repentant, and the Senate was able to fully restore him to his status. There's other senators that now the evidence has been released by the Ethics Committee to the entire Senate body. So during the course of this week, the Senate body will be examining that evidence and be prepared to debate that issue coming up in this next session of Congress. So that's where we stand on that issue. And I've got Senator Jeff Smith, the Budget and Appropriations Committee, on here. Jeff, are you here tonight too?
Well, we'll get to him in a little while here if I see him come up on the board.
I'm not seeing him on the board yet.
Right. You know, I'm wondering, President Pro Tem, I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be helpful, because it's such a pivotal topic, whether that I read this press release right off the get-go here so that then we can have open discussion about it. Is that, Janine, do we have time for that so that it's all out there and we're not dealing in mystery?
I believe so, and I would also, Robert, I'm actually going to put this into Q&A immediately, and that way if Jeff Smith is out there, he can press *6 to help us find him.
All right, very good. Okay, so if you would hold just for a moment, President Pro Tem, I'm going to read this, and then you can have further comments. How's that?
Okay.
It's a press release that came out Saturday, February 18th, regarding Coffee Clutch, Constitutional Congress, and other groups. My fellow Americans of the Republic, it has come to our attention that the social conference call, originally started as a Coffee Clutch, has degenerated into a splinter group who has decided to start their own brand of nation states or similar groups, apparently to be introduced as a Constitutional Congress or some other such group. Our republic should not be confused with their desires of or law form, as they have begun yet another group which wishes to set their dates of re-inhabiting the republic at around 1860, based on their belief that they want to retain the 11th, 12th, and 13th Amendments and a combination of other law forms to include the Magna Carta, or to even re-inhabit back to the Articles of Confederation. This new group, or groups, of ex-Republic members, consisting of apparently misguided governors, senators, and other officials, who have removed their agreement and support from the Utah Declaration of Sovereign Intent and put forth that the states are sovereign, and therefore these officials can rule over the people. Other officials have indicated that this republic has turned into a Christian movement that utilizes prayer and therefore is a republic that they can no longer want to be part of. Senate members who were lawfully removed by the people in their free states for actions not condoned or approved by the people regarding radically different two-page state constitutions, and other senators being investigated for possible non-constitutional actions, were censured for attempting to create filibusters on the Senate floor, as well as other overt acts. The Senate Code of Ethics Committee investigated these matters and applied lawful means of censure with a request to answer to the actions in which the Senate members had apparently participated, properly requesting these members reply with their own explanation of their actions to ensure they were not wrongfully charged or inadvertently misunderstood regarding their actions. To date, only one censored alleged senator has responded, stating that he or she was somehow forced or induced to attend the Coffee Clutch calls and had not committed any wrong. The investigation will continue. However, new information has been presented that some of the current members of this Coffee Clutch group intend to send out a mass email to the other members of the Republic and Congress with misinformation to garner support for their misguided group, rather than utilize our Republican form of government by submitting any lawful factual complaints to the one Supreme Court, which is their guaranteed right under our Constitution. As we have grown and finally been able to document more than a quorum of free states operating under the Republican form of government, these splinter groups have come together in an attempt to divide our republic and thwart the efforts of the people to lawfully re-inhabit the republic. Interestingly enough, in the five or so free states that have lost most of their members of the republic due to the actions and rules of their officials, when these misguided officials either resigned or removed themselves by their own free will and declaration in favor of other and distinctly different law forms of their own independent state republics, these few states suddenly came alive. The people in these divided free states, those people who agree with the law, the rule of law of the republic, have affirmed their intent and consent to our republic by utilizing a draft form of Affidavit of Sovereign Rights, ASR, confirming their law form as indicated and set by our founding fathers. This intent slash affirmation includes the Holy Bible and the 1776 Declaration of Independence and the original 1789 Constitution of the United States, amended with the 1791 Bill of Rights, that has only 10 amendments, and therefore affirm that the people are sovereign, not the states. The draft of the ASR is moving through our Congress, who intend to investigate, confirm, and present to the entire republic a document that, with defined meanings of the words contained, meant to clarify our republic law form, to consolidate and complement several documents of intent to re-inhabit our republic, like the original DSR, and allow us a lawful means to encompass the mass of Americans stuck in the de facto corporation who are joining us. It is the right of these groups to pull away from our republic, for God gave that freedom of choice to us all. We caution and encourage the good people of our republic, for the United States of America, to do their own due diligence, to seek the truth, and if they are contacted by these groups, to ask them to clearly disclose and define their law form and intent. For over a year, there have been chat rooms spreading misinformation, slanderous emails, hearsay rumors, and outright lies designed to damage our republic. When we respectfully request these alleged facts be brought forth to Congress or in a lawful court of the republic, none bother to present any factual evidence. They always seem to hide behind weak excuses with an apparent need to hide these alleged truths in order to hold on to their spotlight. Supposedly, this damning evidence has been turned over to the FBI and other corporate agencies. Yet, when some of our republic members were contacted, the agents reported they were not having a problem with our republic. They were only investigating the splinter groups that were pushing law forms outside the Constitution, that is, illegal or unlawful trusts or other activities that are not properly founded in law, that is, independent nation states. We welcome any who have questions regarding our republic to please continue to send them to ricg@republicoftheunitedstates.org or questions@republicoftheunitedstates.org, and we will continue to answer you as quickly and truthfully as we can. We will do our best to present the truth and counter any unresearched hearsay or unconfirmed alleged facts with the truth and verifiable facts. We will not condone or promote lies or deceit, and we will continue to update you when information regarding funding is completed or available. In the past, we have unfortunately all been victims of believing in individuals who promised us funding, who played games with ID machines and the people's trust, and some purported to have abilities to allow us to win in the de facto courts. All of that misinformation has caused us all some degree of harm and delays, as I did my best to keep the people informed of what I was told. We are now setting up our own ecclesiastical courts that lawfully allow us to remove our people to a lawful and superior justice system, or on a case-by-case basis. The corporate de facto Supreme Court just ruled 9-0, upholding that ecclesiastical courts are indeed lawful means to settle complaints. Hearsay and rumor has been spread that the lawful counsel who is assisting us is a sham. We respectfully request any factual documentation be brought to us that confirm any of the internet myths or rumors. We have firsthand knowledge that our counsel has the ability to act lawfully and counter the claims of the frivolous de facto court system. We have confirmed removals of case from the de facto private court system and are endeavoring to set up our own court to the benefit of the people in our republic. Other areas of lawful methods to discharge debt are being carefully utilized and at this time, we do not believe they are illegal or unlawful. There are many in our republic who have benefited by doing their own due diligence and learning to offend and defend properly their rights. It will benefit us all to continue to research and apply lawful methods to ensure justice. As you all know, many purport to the First Amendment right to freedom of speech as to why they push these negative rumors and propaganda around. But does that right include spreading around non-factual, unconfirmed, non-first-hand information, hearsay, as fact? We are in communication with the true funders of the world's governments who have set aside portions of the world's gold supply to enable us to again fund and fully manifest our republic so that we have a true republican form of government of, by, and for the people. We have been respectfully asked not to disclose who these funders are at this time so we can complete our funding in relative peace. We ask for your prayers that God will continue to open the doors and provide for us, thereby enabling us to complete the process of perfecting the republic. We are moving forward in God's plan, and we'll do our best to follow his lead to finally secure the funds and set up a parallel interim government working to transition back to the republic our forefathers left for us. God bless you all. James Timothy Turner, President. Speaker Pro Tem, I invite you back now to conclude your comments.
And Robert, I'd like to let you know that Senator Jeff Smith is on the line with us, and also Mark Lonsbury.
Very good. So, in fact, why don't you just go ahead and unmute the three of them and let this be a free discussion between them. You have the floor, President Pro Tem.
Yes, it's Jim Geiger again. Thank you for letting us be here with you tonight. And I appreciate, and we'll give a special note of appreciation to the President and his staff in the press release that you just gave. I know that was a labor of love, and it's very much needed to put that information out across the Republic. And be assured that the Senate is doing its job to do our part in regards to those issues. And this whole republic owes a great debt of gratitude to the Ethics Committee and the Senate that's been having to deal with these issues and very heavy issues. And at times, they've gotten physically ill just dealing with this. So keep them in your prayers and keep us all in your prayers that we would be able to continue down the straight and narrow path of reestablishing this republic, re-inhabiting this republic that our forefathers founded for us. In that regard, we need to be looking for a location of the capital, the nation's capital. So we wanted to solicit input from across the country tonight. If you have a knowledge of a facility, buildings, grounds that you think might suffice in that regard. You know, it might be a college that's been shut down, or it might be a military base that's been shut down. Some type of facility that would suffice for the nation's capital. We're going to ask you to forward that information on to us so we can begin to help the committees that are working on that in Congress. In that regard, Senator Jeff Smith, I guess you're on the line here with me now, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
Jeff, just before you come on for that, President Pro Tem, I want to ask you a question here with regards to this coffee clutch matter and the what's coming out as far as the process that goes on in the Senate, and I'll ask Speaker Lounsbury about what goes on in the House. From what I understand, and I'm not in the House or the Senate, is there a set of written rules that are laid out for the Senate that gives a train track of behavior that is expected from members in your body? And so let's start there.
Yes, we do have a set of rules, standing rules, and what But just to give you an idea of how things function in the Senate, is most all the work, of course, is done in committees. So you can imagine if you had 100 different issues being brought before a Senate floor in an unorganized fashion, what a mass chaos that would be. And so we're able to, for instance, with this ASR document and that we're having to deal with right now in this House and the Senate both, we're spending hundreds of man hours every week now to get this documentalized, and that's being done in committees. And it's more than just one committee. You've got the Immigration Naturalization Committee working jointly with the Constitutional and Joint Studies Committee, two committees working together to get this finalized so it can be brought forth to the floor in a presentable fashion. So, in essence, what I'm saying is if it's worth being brought to the floor of the Senate, it's worth going through a committee and being discussed at length before it's brought to the floor. But in terms of the Senate policing itself and its membership, is duly authorized in the Constitution that the Senate and the House also judges the qualifications of its membership. That, in essence, means that if we find that a senator or House member has violated their oath of office, functioning outside their oath, it's entirely up to the Senate to decide what actions need to be taken in that regards. It may be as severe as removing their membership in the Senate and notifying that state that their senator has been removed and need to send a replacement, or it may be as simple as sanctioning that senator by limiting their voice on the floor until such time that the investigation on them is completed, which in essence is what has happened over the past week or two to the senators involved with this copy touch thing that the president just read about on the press release. That was for the protection of the people. And until that investigation was finished. Now, as I said earlier, the entire Senate now has been sent the evidence that's been gathered and painstakingly tabulated by the Ethics Committee. So the entire Senate now is looking at that evidence over the course of this week. And it will be up to the Senate as a whole to decide how to handle this when the session starts up this coming session. So, like I said, it may be as severe as removing a senator from membership in the Senate. It may be as light as some establishing some sanctions, but it's entirely under the authority of the assembly of the Senate to do that.
Tell me, if you would, as a preliminary, tell me, are the Senate calls now recorded and freely available to members in the Republic to monitor and audit at any time?
Senate calls are recorded, and there may be some issues of national security that might be discussed on the calls, but it's not generally made available to the Republicans as a whole. The House calls, I think, are much more accessible. Part of the issue there is the Speaker is the one who designed the website, and it's mainly been designed for the House, and Speaker Lounsbury may speak a little bit more about that issue, but there may be some technical issues there in terms of releasing Speaker Lounsbury, did you have some more to say about that particular?
I'm sorry. The speaker was due to another call, and he has left to go to that call. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I guess one other thing, Jim, this is Rick Weiner. One other thing, we don't have the technical ability right this minute because anytime those 2.5 to 3 hour long Senate calls are recorded, it creates a lot of memory that has to be stored and then turned around and dropped into files, downloadable files and stuff. And unfortunately, Robert, we don't just have the technology to do that yet, but we think we have plans to get it that way.
If I can just give you some feedback, President Pro Tem, the appearance of a process that is not open and transparent to the people is in question. And we recognize that we're growing, that we're fledgling, that the pieces are unfolding, that we're learning as we go, as the president most clearly articulated in this letter. You know, we're learning some things. We head down one road and go, oops, that wasn't exactly it. But, you know, it distracted us for a while. And the voice of the people is paramount in the republic at all levels. In those who are representing us in the Senate, those representing us in the House, and the body politic. And what because it's not something that's open and for all to scrutinize and form their own opinions of, independent of what seems to be a committee, it seems like a committee, and I'm just giving you feedback of what it looks like to those of us who aren't in the know, it looks like that a select few are able to, I guess the closest word I'd use is witch hunt, those who have a divergent point of view. And clearly, the freedom of expressing different points of view is healthy. So could you address that, please?
I can assure you the integrity of the Ethics Committee is should not be questioned. They had no bones to pick with any of the individuals that in the coffee clutch. And they were just made aware of what was going on and examined hour upon hour of evidence. And they reached their own conclusions. Nobody was steered them in a particular direction. So it's not like any kind of witch hunt you're talking about. In fact, the evidence they gathered has been made as of today available to the entire Senate, so that the entire Senate can judge themselves based upon the evidence they've gathered, and really they can agree or disagree with what the committee's recommendations are. So there's no one committee, one group of people in the Senate that has any sway over anyone's vote as far as making them vote a certain way or not. Does that answer your question?
Robert,
well, it does. Go ahead, Jeff. Senator Smith, you have the phone.
One of the things we're hindered by is the ability to meet in person. Obviously, people are very accustomed to having the ability to switch their channel to CNN and zooming in to full color, full presentations of the processes of Senate. We are not at that place where we have that type of funding yet. We're actually getting to, and that's one of the things we're going to be addressing tonight, in asking for help, is getting a building for us to meet in with that capability, by the way, of not only having the floor of Senate, but just like they have now, we would have the ability to have an audience or a place where a limited number, obviously, we can't can't surround the building completely, but you know where people can come in on a regular basis and sit and listen to all those things being debated on the Senate floor. So it's partly technology, it's partly cost. You know, we're meeting right now via telephone lines, and it's a very difficult thing to clearly identify who's on each line. So that we've got that part narrowed down pretty well now, and got it to a pretty good science. Once we get to a place where we have the ability to meet in person and we're looking across, we know who we're talking to across the floor. We know where the audience is, and it's a fairly, you know, by virtue of all that, we've created the security that is necessary to conduct the business of Senate. So those are the limitations we have right at the moment. Just we're right at that cusp where we're going to be making the next step and making the acquisition of facilities to carry out all the things that you're talking about. We obviously would love to be there already, but we're just not. I yield.
I understand. Well, there's a couple of points that are just really clear here. The Senate is way more important, and the House is way more important in its function, its representation of the people, than is the Republic Roundtable. We bring a voice from all different aspects of the Republic for folks to learn about, to grow, and see what's happening. And we have been operating now 7.5 months. Every single call is recorded. Every single call is available. It's not that in itself is a doable, that's a deliverable product, and we have hour and a half to 2 hour calls. So I would encourage you to recognize that we are overdue to have the House and the Senate have their business in front of the people, and it will eliminate a lot of the tension that is experienced and that I'm seeing. I mean, I'm so sad to start to see negative averments using the skill sets that we've learned, using it against one another, because people are feeling violated. People are feeling like they're not being given an open voice. So I know we have to move on with the call, but I want to just set the tone with you guys to invite you to look at the fact that there is business to attend to, and we all understand there's levels of priority, but it's also really important that we allow the voice of the people to speak to us from wherever it's coming from, so that we get a real reading and a real barometer on where the voice of America is and the pulse of the people. So you may respond to that.
I agree with you. I will say this. If you're talking about the Coffee Clutch call or other calls that are being hosted by other individuals around the country that are trying to gather momentum towards another republic, in my mind, they're committing sedition, and they're trying to destroy us from within while pretending to be part of us. So you can expect those kinds of individuals to use half-truths and in the innuendo and whatever to make their point and try to make themselves believable. And I can tell you that none of us that are out there doing our job and being on committees and working on a weekly basis for the people in committees in the House and the Congress are going to be on those calls. That's not the place where we defend ourselves. We do our best to educate the people on this call here tonight. The president's doing his part in sending out press releases about these issues. He's also warning the people that if they're involved with those kinds of meetings, they're in essence may be investigated by the de facto, because a lot of the thrust there is towards establishing an independent nation state, which is not what this republic is about.
Unquestionably, it's not where absolutely, and it's not, you know, the wheat gets separated out from the chaff in the process of life, and we have the people's business to attend to, and it just it's sad to me that we end up warring with each other rather than focusing on the goal and creating a healthy platform for all the voices to be heard and bills to be read and reread and whatever your process is in the Senate to do that in a healthy, functional way. And it's coming to a head this week. We're seeing a lot of it. And, you guys are putting up a good fight in there and heading us forward through stiff wind, and I appreciate that. but please hear the voice. But I don't know all the details that you guys know where you're at, but I hear the pulse of our people. I hear the pulse from members in the Republic who care deeply that we make our way through with the successful re-inhabiting of the Republic, even though we have differing points of view. And that's not the point, like you, the president clearly articulated about the nation states nonsense and stuff like that. But it's an education process, all of it, all the way across. There's people who thought, you know, that was the way to go till they dug deeper and said, no, we shouldn't have nation states. That's just not the way the founders intended it. And in fact, that's what set us up for the de facto.
Robert, this is Janine. We do have the president on the line with us this evening. I know his time is limited. If you don't mind, I'd like us to move to the president.
Very good. Well, thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Senator Smith. President Turner, we've read your press release, and welcome you to the call, sir.
The President Turner is with me. This is Secretary of Security Tim Pledger. And I have a short comment that the president is allowing me to make regarding the matter of Senate and the House of Representatives. And I would like to encourage to everyone to give due consideration to the process of investigation. It is entirely inappropriate for an investigation to be open to the public. The committees and whoever's involved in doing the investigation, looking at the evidences, need an opportunity to look at those things without public scrutiny. And part of that is because they have to sort through false allegations, things presented as fact which are not fact, which could prejudice other people against innocent parties. So the Senate and House of Representatives have an obligation to the people that they represent to protect them, to protect their name. It's hard to restore a good name. So there's nothing underhanded about guarding an investigation and the process of that investigation until some things are sorted out and the facts are proven to be true and are verified. So we need to take it easy on the Senate and the House when they're giving due diligence and investigation. That's also an important aspect of our security, our national security. If we throw caution to the wind and we allow too much to get out into the public, then we can destroy ourselves. So wisdom is needed. A maturity of the people is needed to allow the process to go on unhampered and to be preserved with the fullest integrity possible. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. Here's the president.
Your points are really well noted. Absolutely. And there's a difference between what happens in committee and what happens on the general floor. And as far as the recordings and making that available to the public, clearly it's not committee work that's addressing. That's the general assembly. All right, President Turner, welcome to the call, sir.
Yes, thank you, Robert. And Rick and Janine, I appreciate your efforts pulling these calls together. I know you have lots to do and to sacrifice for you to do, and I appreciate the attendance of all the people that are on the call, officials and people, members of the public that take their time to listen to the calls and get updated on the things that are going on in the Republic. I'd like to reiterate one thing that Secretary Pledger just talked about investigations. I am a trained investigator, and it is very important to keep private things private until they should be released into the public. Because sometimes, as we just realized this last week, there was a person that was falsely accused of having involvement in a particular thing that was going on, and he was accused of having being part of this, and actually he just had attended one of the calls and didn't even really know what was even going on. And I know this individual personally is a fine man, but he got and I was very very surprised that he was accused, and So he went through the proper process and followed the protocols that the Senate required, and he was restored fully. And you know, it would have been a shame if his name would have been slandered out there in public, and he would have had to overcome that. And I know how that is because I get it every day. Lies and innuendo and half-truths are told about me every single day on the Internet. And I have to, it seems I have to constantly defend against that, even though I'm not even guilty of what they're saying. The idea is out there, and how do you restore that? Once it goes out, it's like a bullet. It goes out, and when it comes back, when it does its damage, you can't recall a bullet. Once it leaves the gun, the damage is going to be done. And lies and false statements, half-truths, have that same effect. It's difficult to restore somebody completely once you've destroyed them. And that's what we're trying to prevent here as well, because we don't have all the facts until they're investigated. But anyway, I appreciate the due diligence of the Senate, and some things do need to be done. Some people's names do need to be made public once the investigations are done, because they're leading people down the primrose path, down a path they shouldn't be going. And they're doing it with intent, and they have an agenda. And the agenda is not for the American people. It simply is based on lies and half-truths, and they're not telling the whole story. If they would take their time to investigate what the truth was, they wouldn't have the issues that they have, but they don't do that because that's not what they're after. They have an agenda. Their agenda is to take over the republic, and they want to do it, and they don't have the ability, first of all, to do it. They don't have the knowledge and understanding to do it, and none of us are 100% what we should be in this republic, but there are many very intelligent people in this republic that do know what the founding fathers did. There are many of us that have years and years of study in this area of how the government was built. I, for one, have many years, probably 25, 30 years of study about how the constitutional government works, and I do understand how it works, and I do understand how to put it back together, but I don't know everything. There are a lot of things I wish I did know, and that's why I call on others. There are other people that have studied areas of the government that I have not studied, and together we come together and we reason about these things, and we take the logical course to keep us on track. Not everybody agrees with it, and they never will, but the problem that we have is you've got a group of people that have been involved with us that want to do something other than a Republican form of government. They don't, first of all, they don't understand what a Republican form of government is. They think that they're supposed to rule the people. Well, in this republic, as long as I'm part of it, the people will say, have their say. They will be the ones calling the shots. And that's what we need to make sure that we stay that way. We never need to change that. We always need to have the will of the people, because if we don't, we get away from that, we'll have the same democracy, socialist-type oligarchy that we have today in Washington if we don't stay on track. We work very diligently, many people have, to keep this republic on track, to make sure that it is truly a government of, by, and for the people. The people that are complaining, for the most part, are people that want to control and manipulate and use you and tell you half-truths and outright lies at times to get there to gain their agenda. And I can tell you for sure that there are people out there that are agents of the de facto that are guiding these people and leading these people and pushing these people into doing some of the things they're doing, and they don't even know that they're being used. The republic, there's only one republic in this nation, and that is us. We are the republic. There will never be another republic in this nation but us. There are many people claiming they want to go and form the true republic. They can go do anything they wish. We will not harm them or molest them. I'm not going to say that some of the three-letter agencies out here are not going to harm and molest them, because many of them will probably be arrested. They're under investigation already. And not because of anything we've done. It's because they've been watching very closely everything we've done. You know, somebody said earlier, I think it was in the letter, that the evidence had been turned over to the three-letter agencies. It wasn't done by us, but I can imagine who it was done by. And it's some of the very same people that are out there trying to run this other type of whatever kind of government they call it. Some of them have turned over evidence to the feds and even have said it on open calls that they've done it. But we've never turned over any evidence whatsoever to anybody from this republic. So, folks, pay attention to what you're reading and what you're seeing. Look through the alleged facts. I like the word factoid. Factoid. I've heard that written that used a lot. A factoid is just basically someone's idea of the truth. Doesn't mean it's true. And we see a lot of factoids going on out here in people using a little bit of truth to make it sound good, but they're covering their agenda. But they have an agenda, and it is not for you, the people. Everything we've done in the republic form of government up to this point has been to uphold the rights of the people. And we have done everything in honor and integrity. Not everything's went the way we wanted it to go. I have been very disappointed a lot of times because I had been promised things that didn't work out in the time frame that we wanted them to work in. Many of them I shared with you, and I told you, you know, that we expected things to happen. Sometimes they didn't. But we're dealing with international politics. Now, believe me, it is a very, very difficult thing to maneuver. But we're still on track. We're a little bit further behind than we wanted to be, but we're right on time according to God's time. And we don't control that. But nothing has changed. The republic is moving ahead in the same path it's always been going. It hasn't changed any directions, contrary to what some of the people out there talk about. They never were on our direction. They had another agenda all along. And so they don't understand where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to be doing. And they're trying to demonize us because we do. And we are on track. We're going to stay on track. We haven't wavered one step to the right or one step to the left since day one. We're right on the exact same path that we always were, contrary to what you're hearing out there. We are here for the people. We're working for the people tirelessly, believe me. I wanted a day off today, but I couldn't because I had to go to the office and take care of work for you. And it's been a while since we've had a day off, and we need one, but we've got work to do, and I don't know when that day's coming, but we're working for you as hard as we can to bring about the Republican form of government. Got some good reports today about the system. A particular judge commented to one of our people that they recognized our parallel government and our court system. And I thought that was very interesting. I got that call today from some of our folks. And it's interesting that they are actually recognizing it. And that's hard to get any of the de facto people to do that, but that was actually is where we're headed. The change is coming. The changes are taking place. As I've been telling you for over a year now, there are changes happening. But it's a very slow and methodical change because people can't take quick change. It would cause chaos in our nation, so it has to be done slowly and methodically. We want to reintegrate the system instead of destroy what we have and have chaos in our nation. We want to reintegrate the government into this Republican government into what we have now without causing a bunch of chaos. And when it's all said and done, we will have one government, not two, and we will have a Republican form of government. And that's what will happen if we can do it slowly and methodically. If we try to change things too quickly, we will have major problems. We'll have financial collapse. We'll have war in the streets of America. These things have to be done in their proper time and in their proper way. And it's taken longer than a lot of us want to see. But the truth is, I believe that I shared with you from the earliest beginnings of this movement that it would probably take 10 years. Well, we're way ahead of schedule if you look at the 10-year timeline. We're really doing quite well compared to the 10-year timeline because we're just about, 2 years into this thing, and we're already making great progress. We're not only here, but around the world, and we are beginning to be recognized by many countries. But anyway, we could talk all night about the things that we're doing, but we're making great progress. And with many around the world, we're talking to heads of state and people in government around the world that are supporting us, and even some here in this country as well are beginning to come along and understand. Now, that doesn't mean everybody in Washington agrees with what we're doing. In fact, there are a few up there that I'm sure never will. But the majority of people, a lot of them even in Washington, that understand do agree that we are the solution to what's going on in America. And we truly are. So With that, I'll yield the floor, and I'll be on standing by for any answers to any questions that you might have. And God bless all of you, and I thank you for attending the call.
Well, thank you, President Tim. I want to just make one kind of comment into what you so eloquently spoke about, and that is the battle that's going on between those who have an agenda that is never was for the Republic, always was an agenda of a different cloth, and how some of the tension of what's coming up now is actually exposing that. So that is a that's clearly a good thing. That's part of the sifting and the pruning that I think God does with his vine. The other part that I'm hearing and that I'm really hopeful that we breathe more life into is there's a lot of good folks who are part of this republic who are longing to participate in the process, and they're wanting their hands untied. And so there's a balance between the two of those. How do you empower everyone who's part of the republic with that same type of, I'd almost say, that viral magnetism that if you study the what happened in the Ron Paul revolution, you have folks who don't even know the guy, who have nothing, no idea at all of his structure, going out there and promoting his agenda in a free form, in a freedom form that is just amazing to watch. And for us to tap into that pulse of America, that pulse that not only senses change, longs for change, and wants to shake off the monkey of oppression, tapping into that and giving our people avenues to express themselves in a constructive way is, I think, on the hearts of a lot of folks. And can you comment on the balance between that, if I'm not messing with, you know, by saying that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you want me to answer there. Yeah, I heard you speak about the people supporting Ron Paul, and could you clarify exactly what you want me to speak about?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about there is a phenomenon that has happened. It happened back in 2008. I don't follow it now, so I don't really know. But what happened in 2008 was he raised, like in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 1 hour or something, like $12 million over the internet from spontaneous folks just pulling stuff together. He didn't organize any of it. It just all happened because the people saw there's the voice of freedom. We want to back and go behind it. Now, in the same manner, there are thousands of people in our republic. They are people who want to engage in the process. And yes, we're all learning from an assembly level up to elected officials, or down to elected officials, however you look at it. And there is a need for that voice to come through as a free flow. So some of this is an agenda of people who don't have an agenda for good and are trying to mess with us. I get that. But there's also folks who really have a voice that want to say something that says, like, for example, one of our emails this week says, you have a historical error on your website. Do you care to know more about it? If you do, let me know. If you want to hear from the I can't remember what they were, but from the people.
Sure, we want to know.
Yeah, absolutely we do. So I guess I'm expressing a frustration that I've seen from so many avenues this week that I can – it's why I've been so –
I understand
so,
your point, Robert.
You understand?
That's the reason we're on this call tonight, though. We
right.
keep hearing this rhetoric over and over again. We cannot express ourselves. We can't redress our grievances. Every single one of those people that are saying that are not even trying to redress their grievances in a proper format that we've given. They're doing it on the internet and on blogs when all they have to do is come on the calls and ask the questions. I've never failed to answer anybody's questions that they've asked unless I didn't know the answer, and I told them I didn't know the answer sometimes.
That's
but the
absolutely
bottom line
true.
Is we don't withhold information, and we tell people exactly what they want to know. If they ask us, we tell them the truth, and we're open and forthcoming with information as much as we can share. And all they have to do is ask. We answer hundreds of emails every week, and we answer countless questions every week to people that ask. the people that are out here on the blogs and on the internet and doing the emails and the calls and things that are contrary to the constitutional republic are not asking the questions. They could get their answers if they would just do it.
Well, let's segue it to an area that you're involved in and that needs to be understood. Let's talk about the Dominion Services and the whole land patent matter, how come it's important to the Republic, and where you see it going.
Well, the land patent issue is a big issue for the Republic simply because anyone that wants to be an elector in the Republic form of government or wants to run for office, they have to be landowners. And that's before we can institute a permanent government, a Republican form of government, we've got to meet that criteria. And it's in the Constitution that we have to be landowners. Okay, and very few people in this country truly are landowners. The land patent process was put together for that reason, to bring the people into a ownership position of their land, and that's what we need to do. If we want to take back America, we've got to take back the land as well, and that's what the purpose of that is. And the process, which Mr. Pledger and myself and Tom Chapman and Sharon Anzali all worked on the process, and there were others that contributed as well. I think Miss Louise Gardner may have even, I think she helped start this thing out. So we have many great minds that are involved in doing this out there. And we, Tim Pledger and myself, just kind of pulled it all together with the information. Some of it had been many, many, probably hundreds of thousands of hours of research other people brought forward and showed us some things. And then we went all the way down the rabbit hole till we found the bottom and we put it together. And so we realized the power of this process, and that's why we were out promoting it. We'll let you know that I promoted it in my private capacity, not as the president, but separating me from the Republic is like trying to change my DNA, because it is ingrained in my DNA, the Republic is. But we did this as a private thing, and I would like to say that Tim Pledger and myself volunteered the time and effort to do this, to bring it to the public. We get nothing from Dominion Services whatsoever, and we set it up that way intentionally. We don't make any money off of that system. We did charge some money for our seminars that we did in our private capacity so that we could travel, but it was a dual-purpose trip because we had exhausted our revenue, and we had to travel and go out and talk to the states and to the assemblies. So wherever we went to do a seminar, we also went and visited with their assemblies as well and talked to the people and tried to build a republic at the same time in our professional or in our public capacity when we weren't doing our private thing. So, you know, I get criticized about that, but the bottom line is we had to have traveling money to travel, and it costs a lot of money to travel. And we've exhausted everything we had doing that in the last 2 years. So we came up with a way to do both, and that was the reason we did it. But we get absolutely nothing from Dominion Services. We just help put it together because that's what we do. We are organizers, and we're pretty good at that. And that's one of the things, believe it or not, if you look at some of the things we do, you wouldn't believe that. But the truth is we're pretty good at organizing if we can just quit get some cooperation. But anyway.
Mr. President, this is Janine. I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that there are some people that have already been through the training. I was hoping
yes.
to have some people from the Dominion Services team on the call tonight, but they were on some other calls. And so for those people that have already gone through the training or those people that are ready to start the process, we just wanted everyone to know that we are still working on the logistics of how that's all going to work, and the documents are being finalized. What you gave out in seminars was a basic document, but we're trying to put them into a fillable form for them so the integrity is preserved on those documents. And we're very close, but we're not ready yet. And that's one of the things we wanted to make sure everyone understood tonight, So we want to just kind of a soft introduction into what we're doing here, but also let you know we are working very hard in the background with the logistics putting this together, and it's close.
Yes. But not yet. I appreciate it. And I know you worked very hard on that, as we have, to try to get it together. And when we do, it's going to really it's going to take the country by storm. And we need the people to get this done and get it moving forward, because they need to be landowners. It's going to change the whole face of the nation once you become landowners.
Well, President Tim, I want to commend you for your tireless and selfless service to America, to this republic. Folks who begrudge you making a livelihood simply don't understand what America is based on. And you are certainly holding two hats, I mean multiple hats, but two clearly, and that is the president of a transitional government re-inhabiting the republic and trying to feed your own family. So I honor you for your ability to straddle that fence and take the flak for it.
Well, I can say that my wife, she's a trooper. She should have ran me off a long time ago. Because I have put my family on the back burner for this republic many times, even my own health many times, and because it's that important. Because what is good health and having having everything your family wants and lots of money in the bank if you can't be free?
Exactly right.
And I choose freedom. I'll give
Amen.
It all for freedom.
Amen. Absolutely excellent. Okay. I'm not sure we're ready for questions about the land patents yet, but I want to give Rick Weiner an opportunity to give us an update on where we are with the states that are fully recorded and that we have full documentation from for you when you are ready to present this to the funders and onlookers. So, Rick Weiner, are you available to give us an update?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. On the Monday night governor's call, on the Tuesday night joint session, we were able to give those two groups an update. The president felt like he would like to give the entire nation that listens on your Thursday call, Robert, the same information. So I'm going to jump through the list here pretty quickly. It's in alphabetical order. And so first off, we have Alabama, who is, I think they're right at green today. We got a whole lot of things in from their Secretary of State. So even the President's State looks like it's going to turn green here within the next 24 hours when Janine and I have a chance to make sure all the documents are there. Alaska is what we call 98% green. They have, of course, the largest territory and the most frozen area. But there's just little things, Robert, that are missing on some of the documents. Like they turned in minutes, but they weren't signed off by their recording secretary and they weren't witnessed. So it's hard to be able to validate, you know, whether the people are validating the elections and things like that. So pretty much across the board with 38 states, if I say a state is 98%, it simply means that little tiny things are missing. Alaska happens to be one of those. Now, if I say a state is 100% green, what that means is it simply has the standing and the communication and the three branches. Let me see if I can rephrase that. It means
our minimum
that
requirements.
Our minimum requirements by Congress, but it also means that they have an operating Republican form of government within the state. So Arizona, 100% green. Arkansas, green. California, green. Colorado, green. Connecticut, green. Now, I will bring up a few states that we actually don't have any communication with anybody yet. So if I bring up a state and say that it's completely vacant, if you happen to have people in these states, if you would please contact us at rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org, which Janine will again reiterate a little bit later. We could – any contacts you can get us. We have a team put together that is planning to do phone calls, education, whatever needs to be done. But Delaware, for instance, we don't have a single resident – or excuse me, a single person domiciled in Delaware that we know of at this time, and we would certainly like to have people from that state. So the next one is Florida. They're completely green. Georgia went through the turmoil of between a provisional and permanent structure of government. That got cleaned up in the same manner the president was talking about. He happened to be in the area. He met with all the people and put that idea and rumor to bed. Georgia is 99% this morning. I got a whole bunch more information from them. So their records keeper and secretary of state is working with us. So, like I said, they're at 99%. Hawaii, we are starting to hear from Hawaii. I announced on the Monday night and Tuesday night call, and we actually had some of the people of Hawaii contact us back, verify that their governor had resigned, and they were trying to put it back together. So they're coming along. Idaho is one of the states that's only at about 80%, and simply because they haven't had the ability to put assembly meetings together. But I have been in contact with them, and they are working to finish up on those areas. Illinois, green. Indiana, green. Iowa, green. Kansas, green. Kentucky, green. Louisiana, we have apparently a misunderstanding about which documents we need, but we're working with the people there. We should be able to get them online. They are one of the 98% states. Maine is vacant at this time. We did have some people there, but as the president said, for some reason, they looked at the nation states idea, thought that was a better deal. So their entire membership and officials all resigned with what we call a nation states resignation, kind of a silly thing. Maryland, I'm happy to announce, had their meetings, and they've got their new governor put together and their people together. They have a good number of the documents in. They're probably at the 90 to 98% range right now. Massachusetts is green. Michigan is green. Minnesota is green. Mississippi kind of fell apart. I think it's going to be put back together. There were different people there that had different ideas of our law forms. We put forth exactly what that law form is. We've had a lot of people utilize the document that the Senate and the House are working on in the draft format called an ASR, Affidavit of Sovereign Rights. So they're putting Mississippi back together. Missouri, green. Montana, green. Nebraska, green. Nevada, green. New Hampshire, a vacant state, completely vacant state. Anybody have anybody there, please let us know. New Jersey, completely vacant state. Nobody there that we know of. New Mexico is green. New York, we've been working with them. They are about at the 90 to 92% area there. They're trying to go back and find some of the documents that they're missing in that area. North Carolina, green. North Dakota, green. Ohio, they, of course, if you guys remember, they had one of their members, I believe, that was in a terrible accident, shut them down for a little bit. Their governor resigned, and there's several good people that are putting that state back together. So we look for them to be green here pretty quickly. Oklahoma is green. Oregon is green. Pennsylvania is green. Rhode Island is the fifth vacant state that we have. We just don't have a single person there. South Carolina, green. South Dakota, green. Tennessee, green. Texas, well, most of you know the controversy we had there. The people in the – well, I shouldn't say the people. The administration, the officials there felt like that their law form was the one they wanted to follow. We had to accept that, and we let them follow their own law form. We do have a lot of people. We've had people contact us and say they've tried for 2 years to become a member of the Republic, and we're making it to where they can do that now. Utah, a little bit of a controversy going on there. We just have a total lack of documentation there, so we don't know what's going on. Vermont is green. Virginia is green. Washington is green. West Virginia is green. Wisconsin is green. And Wyoming is green. So, Mr. President, I'm happy to report we've got literally 38 states forming past your quorum that you need for when the funding gets fully in place and you need to start distributing it. And we have many of the other states coming along, and we only have those five states that are completely vacant that we'll go to work on, sir. And, Robert,
well,
that's all I have.
That.
Awesome. Each week we get stronger and stronger. I just commend you guys for all your laborious and tedious task of putting dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Oh, one more thing, Robert. We've got a lot of calls are coming off and coming in. There might be some line loss or something tonight. I just wanted you and Janine to remind everybody that this call is posted. So if they're having troubles coming in and out, I just see that people are in there for 7-8 minutes and then they're gone for about 30 seconds and back in. Just if you would not forget to remind them how that they can listen to this whole call in its entirety in the next couple of days.
Okay, Janine, you want to make that announcement of the replay?
Right, thank you. Yes, we post them on the Republic of the United States website. If you go over to the very far right under weekly updates, you'll find the tab for the calls there. And Robert, I don't remember exactly what to go next because I haven't logged into it in a while, but that's where the calls will be. The recordings are there. And
very
also,
good.
Might as well tell everyone if they'd like to ask questions and send their questions in, they can send them to questions, that's plural, at republicoftheunitedstates.org. And Rick mentioned earlier, if people had questions regarding the two press releases, you can send them to RICG at republicoftheunitedstates.org. And with that, Robert, I believe we've only got a few minutes. We should go to the Q&A.
Okay, we sure will. And we do have that we're going to talk about the American Ranger program. Perhaps, Mr. President, you could just touch on it. I understand that the House wants to talk about it more fully next week. But could you just touch on that here? Because a press release did go out with the call invitation. And I'd just like folks to... for you to summarize it, if you could, for folks.
Well basically, I think that we probably need to cover that in better detail next week with Mr. Pledger and Miss and Carrie probably next week when they've got everything together where they can explain everything to the people. Okay, that's
okay.
All right.
You sure? Well, they've got the press release for now, so that's they can digest that from now till then.
Okay.
The biggest thing, Mr. President, is probably you want to just announce that the American Ranger Executive Board, those few members got the documentation you wanted together, and that you have now formed the American Ranger Executive Council, and therefore you can talk more about that next week. So there have been several questions why Robert brought that up. There's been several questions as to did that program get disbanded entirely? And that's where he's wanting you to answer the question, sir.
It would be better for me to turn that over to Mr. Pledger and let him answer that.
Very good, sir.
That's fine. We have more than enough on our plate this week, so that's good. And you've given him an intro with the press release. Very good. So before we take calls on the line, I want to cover, if we can, some of the questions that have come in this week. Let's start with the ID question. Bureau of Records question about the ID. I listened to the Thursday call July 21st. I have a driver's license and CDLA. I'm a truck driver, owner, operator from North Dakota. Excuse me. I have the Republic ID and travel warrant, but if they issue new IDs, how to inform the DMV to let them know that I'm no longer in their jurisdiction? My concern is I'm using this CDLA for my work. What will I show or tell to the officer if they pull me over? Thank you.
Wow, that's a loaded question, isn't it, sir?
I'll be happy to answer that question.
Okay.
The identification that you'll receive from the Republic will be acknowledged worldwide, and it will be acknowledged also by the de facto government once we release this. Our recognition process is going on internationally now. We already have nations coming forward issuing letters of support for us, and we're entering into treaties with other countries, which are being drafted and then to be presented to Congress. These things are happening now. Our recognition process takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but once we get to that point, we will issue letters to the de facto agencies like the DOT and all of the state agencies, DOT and national DOT, and they will recognize our identifications at that point. We're not there yet. We're getting there, though, and we're getting there very quickly. So those are the things you got to understand. This is not, we don't have a magic bullet fix. It takes time and proper steps to get the recognition we need so that people will honor our IDs. It takes a while. It's not something you can do overnight, but it will happen, and it's going to happen fairly soon. But it is going to take a little time.
And, Mr. President, regarding his CDL license, we do feel that we can negotiate a way for those that need those particular things for their work. We do believe we can negotiate a way where the Republic ID will work along with a necessary license like that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, we have the authority, or will have the authority at that point, to regulate commerce as well. So we may have to issue our own license, or not license is not the right word, but our own identification or whatever you want to call the card that shows that you're operating commercially in our system. And that might be one of the things we have to do. But anyway, we will have the solution to that soon.
Very good. This question is from Colorado. It says, I have an opportunity to a local free conservative newspaper that would like to do an article on our local county assembly and the Republic. Who do I turn this over to, or do we, the assembly, decide whether or not to go forward? I already have an assured that it would be a resounding yes from their assembly.
Yes, I'm sure you would. You probably need to put them in touch with the media team. C.W. Wright is one of the leaders of the media team, the vice president. And probably need to put them in touch with him, and then he can put together some help to guide them through. Because the media, you have to understand a few things about media before you start doing press releases. And they probably need to be educated a little bit on that before they do it.
So then the vice president's email is c.wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, @republicoftheunitedstates.org. Okay, let's see. Janine, why don't you take the first one in the queue while I pull up another question here.
Great. Yes, the call from Vermont, you've been in the queue for quite some time. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Hello, my name is Edwin Gauthier, Republic of Vermont.
Hi there.
Hi. This is to President Tim Turner. I want to thank you for everything you've done for us. You're one hell of a guy, and I wanted to let you know, you've already probably heard, but I just got out of jail about 3 or 4 days ago. And I think I'm defeating the need and the cause. My brother's still in jail, but I've gotten some good news in for you, Tim. When I was in jail, I was working real hard on this, really, really hard to get off the bus. And I finally got a letter from the judge. Okay, this might excuse me and my brother. If I take 2 seconds to read this, I'd appreciate it. And I will yield the floor for comment. Okay, the state to please respond. Okay, hold on. Respond in, they're hard reading their writing, so in their usual time frame. Court is inclined to treat this motion as a motion to dismiss on the grounds of allegedly, okay, warrantless entry into defendant's residence.
Well, that's so good. That means in the law.
I was in jail for a long time. They put me to hell. And I will tell you something, but I have a lot of other ones here, but I sent on, some documentation to this certain person. And, I guess I want to appreciate everything that's being done, for your sports and everything. It's the first time I got to talk to you, President. I've been wanting to talk to you in a long while, but I was patient. But I'm really, really working hard down here for you, and I will continue working on hard for you and God and for us people. And I don't care what it takes. But I yield the floor, and God bless you all, and thank you very much.
God bless you, too, and I'm sorry for your problems there, brother. We are working trying to help thousands and thousands of people in the same position across this nation right now that are unlawfully incarcerated because of violations of the law. And we're winning the battle, I can tell you.
Well, Tim, can I tell you this much? If you need any assistance, I know a little bit about, you know, the rules and regulations and stuff, looking them up and all that stuff, even in for the cities they're in. I'm pretty good at this stuff. As you can see, I get this here. But I ain't the best, but I do my damnedest hardest.
All right. Well, you need to get in touch with me so we can – maybe we need to put you involved with our law team for research.
That would be awesome because I would love to do something like that.
Yeah, we need the help too, because time, oh my goodness, takes a lot of time and effort to do the research and chase it down the rabbit hole, as I say, and get to the bottom of it.
I just got to be watching myself here in Vermont, because me walking on the streets with the police down here, we don't cry too good. It's because I won't bend over and kiss their butts, you know, and they always ask me, you know, well, if you got your own government, then why are you bothering us? And it's like, it's some stupid stuff, you know? And
well, they're trying to tell you the solution.
Yeah. Right. Especially when they entered my home, you know. And what I hated about the most, I'm entering Babylon, but what I hate about the most is that he took a piece of pink, we call it pink slip down here. They write it up and give you a citation. Well, when they give you the citation, okay, I refused it. So I told him I'm part of the Republican, I'm refusing this, all right? And for no cause, and I showed you a paperwork to overrule it, and he still wanted to give it to us. So what did he do? Mm-hmm. He threw it at me. I said, now you would have arrested me if I threw that at you for, you know, assault a police officer. I said, that's assault one. I backed up. He come walking up to me, hit butt, chest to chest. I mean, he really hit me in the chest, and he said, now I'm arresting you for beating an officer and resisting arrest.
Jeez.
That's okay. You just keep up with the facts that your day is going to come.
Oh, yeah, I know it is. I'm already getting that closely. I just wanted to let you know that I will be doing a little bit of support later on if it works out right, and, you know, for my fellow Republic. If anybody needs help, I got it. Please ask.
Well, caller, our next question in the queue is, if you have a pen and paper, perhaps you could address this. And President Tim, you can respond to it as well. It says, hello, I heard President Turner mention that the Republic is assembling a legal help group to help people in the Republic with legal issues. I am needing some help with a court issue and was wondering if you might be able to put me in contact with someone I could talk with. They could contact me by email, and here's the email address, man, 49 at live.com. Man, 49 at live.com.
You need to also forward that to Nathan as well, Robert.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the law team, President Tim?
Yes, we have, last count, we had about 18 people coming together across the nation, different degrees of knowledge in the law. And they're putting together a pretty good law team. We are actually already removing cases to our courts. In fact, we had a judge just today acknowledge that our courts, all they had to do was ask, and they would remove their case to our court. And that was in a land patent ownership issue, I think. Anyway, we're starting to see a response to our court system and our legal team. The judges are starting to want to get rid of these cases that they don't want anyway and send them to our courts. So that's a good thing. That means the shift is taking place, and it will, as time goes on, it'll get more and more. Judges will finally just realize, hey, it's easier for us to just move this thing out of our courts and stop clogging up our courts. And they'll catch on pretty quick, and people will get real justice when they ask for it.
Janine, I know you told me earlier that Nathan is super busy right now. What is the proper email address for fielding questions for the legal team?
Rick, do you have that email address?
I'm asking.
I'm looking real quick. Robert, I don't have it. Give me a minute, and I'll pull it up here for you.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't we go to the next caller in the queue, Robert, while Rick is looking for that. It's Kenneth Crane. Go ahead. You have the floor.
This is Representative Ken Crane of Baltimore, Maryland. I have a question. Where do you think the capital of the republic is going to be located? Is it going to be Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Atlanta, Georgia? I know you all have been finding a building for about a year or so now.
Well, we don't know at this point where it's going to be located. We're still researching different areas of the nation to decide where the best place is. We would kind of like it centrally located, preferably in a not-so-cold climate.
I would recommend Phoenix, Arizona or something,
Yeah, Kenneth, thank you. I'll tip you later for that. But I just have to warn you, as lovely as Phoenix is right now, there's 4 months of summer that you have to live in a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have experienced the 117, 18 degrees out there. It does get a little warm.
What was this? Recess Congress for the summer.
that would be good. Give them the summer off. But anyway, Congress is
going Robert, to be we do have a new address for that.
Oh, for where?
We were going to announce that tonight. We never got to it. But if people have information along that line, we created a new address today for that, buildings@republiccongress.org. And if you're in that industry or have some suggestions along that line, we just created that this evening. And we're going to actually announce it tonight, but didn't figure we'd get to it, and you all came right around back to it, so I thought I'd bring that up.
Okay.
Well, I kind of think a good central location might be Honolulu or somewhere like that. It's centrally located.
Oh, Hawaii, yeah.
Here in China, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly up for that.
Wouldn't have to worry about the weather. But anyway, we got to find a good central location.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Kenneth.
I know you're on the floor.
All right.
Did
I want to go to another question before we go into queue, Janine. This one is from a sheriff candidate, and he titles his email, "Add me to the lawsuit and make no secret about it." He says, "I ran for sheriff of Gallatin County, Kentucky, on a platform of restoring the constitutional republic. As a consequence of my campaign, I was charged with 3 felonies and treated as a citizen of a corporate state, despite my written demands for proofs and notices to state their jurisdiction." And you can see the video, and he gives a video link. "The judge and prosecutor have violated many administrative rules concerning jurisdiction and procedure. I am suing personally in federal district court next week. Ronnie L. Smith."
Well, I would like that's what he probably should do. My lawsuit is basically aimed at the fact that we've been demonized without any evidence. That's what the basis of my lawsuit is. So we have to be careful adding people that would change the focus of our suit. So right now we haven't added anybody. And if there's somebody been demonized, it might be possible. But if they want to get involved, they better get ready to go to work as well, because I'm going to require them to do their part.
Well,
it's going to be a considerable job.
If it's all right with you, I'll just forward it to you for your review, and you can make that determination.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Janine, next in the queue.
Yes, and before I take the call, I would like to double-check with Senator Smith. I want to make sure that the email address is buildings@republiccongress.org.
Janine, give you 1 second. We just created it. Let me check it and verify it before I tell you. No,
okay.
It is not plural.
It is
not plural. And this is, by the way, going to the Budget and Appropriations Committee, who are doing the investigation of the and the research for finding us a capital.
Okay, great. I'm glad I asked that question, because I thought I heard an S in there. So great.
You did,
thanks
and that
so
was
much.
My mistake. Thank you for clarifying.
No worries. Okay, the next caller in the queue is David Thompson.
Hello.
Hello, you have the floor.
Okay. I got four little statements that I believe most anybody over 40 can relate to. I'm about to turn 68. I think what we've forgotten is we're all people, and exactly what that means. I'm a direct descendant of Adam and Eve, and they got booted out of the garden. There's none good, no, not one, but God. And I don't care what religion you are, I'm of the Christian faith. Religion's all God gods, and there's only one God in the universe. The secret of all this is we come in with a blank slate. We've lost our culture because most of us didn't have anybody writing on that slate. Should have been our mom and dad. Well, in these later generations, my goodness, mom and dad could be 14 and 16. I mean, it's really sad the way our culture has slid downhill because all of this liberal, you know as well as I do. And another little secret is, as the kids are growing up, they need to know that their life will follow the path their feet take. Parents should drill that into them so that they're thinking about it and understand it. And maybe they'll be better armed to make better decisions. You talk to the younger folks today, and it's pathetic. Okay. You guys are doing a wonderful job. It seems like there's a lot of shakeups, and I just thought in my heart that if people understood who in the heck they were, and everybody here listening knows a thief, knows a guy that wants to be honorable, and maybe if he's really lucky, a couple of Christians. You know, and that's just the truth of where we're at today. Love you all. That's it. I yield the floor.
David, I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom. Good, solid truth. Thank you, sir.
Robert, did you have more questions from the email?
I do. Rusa, this one, subject line says, can Washington, D.C. join the Republic? I just saw Mark Hafner's video on YouTube, and I'd like more info about joining the Republic. However, I am a resident of Washington, D.C., which has no representation, or no rep, it says. Who can I email to join and possibly become a senator? Also, Washington, D.C. is not a state. Does this mean Washington, D.C. will have different legal procedures for designating representatives? Maryland and Virginia also do not have reps listed. Is there anything stopping the RUSA from creating a merged state that consists of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., with Washington, D.C. as its capital? After all, can't independent republics/counties choose to merge into larger territories at their discretion to speed your ability to organize the nation? Marlon.
This is Jim Geiger.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim. You want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, we discussed Washington, D.C. on the Immigration Naturalization Committee at length the other night, and we're not going to allow D.C. residents to become citizens of the Republic. What they can do is they can move outside of Washington and to one of the adjacent states. You know, some issues with Washington, D.C. being a foreign entity right now. So that's just the state of the way things are. And the president might speak a little bit more about Washington, D.C., in essence, being in foreign hands. That was the consensus of the committee. Of course, that has to make its way all the way through Congress. So, That was the opinion of the committee who was working on it, that someone who's a resident or domiciled in Washington, D.C. would not be able to join the Republic. They would have to move to an adjacent state to be domiciled there. you?
President Tim, would you like a comment on his comment that says Maryland and Virginia also do not have reps listed? Is anything stopping us from creating merged states?
Was that for me, Robert?
Yeah, I did. He had a tail end to this question. I just wanted to know if he wanted to just cast some understanding on it. He says Maryland and Virginia also do not have reps listed. Is there anything stopping the Republic of the United States from creating a merged state that consists of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., with D.C. as its capital? After all, can't independent republics/counties choose to merge into larger territories at their discretion to speed your ability to organize the nation?
I honestly don't know how to answer that question. Washington, D.C. was merged out of three different states as an autonomous area, so it could be like the seat of the government of the nation without being beholden to any state. That still can work, and the people in Washington, once the reintegration process is completed, will be in the republic. But for the time being, I'm not sure what the answer for that is. It's a real legal dilemma at this point while we have two governments, and I honestly don't know the answer to that until it's researched.
This is Jim Geiger once again.
Go ahead.
One of the things we specifically did in the Utah document is we excluded Washington, D.C. We did not claim that as part of our geographical boundaries. It was excluded. As far as establishing a combination of states and calling it one, I would say no, because we have a mandated authority right now to reoccupy that which our founding fathers did, not create anything new. So if they're trying to do something new, that's kind of getting outside the bounds of what we're re-inhabiting. It should be re-inhabiting a state as it was. And, of course, Washington, D.C. is a special instance, and that it was excluded in our one of our founding documents, the Utah document. Yeah.
Rick Weiner, I have a question here for you. It's a specific question, but I'm sure you could apply it to a number of different inquiries that come in like this. It says, need help. Do you know where I can purchase Iraqi dinar? I heard the interview with President Turner that only Republic members can change the dinar to the Iraqi. Hope you can help me. Thank you.
Yes, sir, I can answer to that. That was actually a program that was offered to us. Gosh, it's been like four or so months ago that was unable to be put together. And so at this time, as you know, almost on a weekly or daily basis, they keep saying that the dinar is going to revalue. But at this time, unless Senate Pro Tem James Geiger can tell me anything any different, at this time we don't have a special program that was only going to be for the Republic members. It had thought that we could be put it together, but it was unable to be fully vested. Is that correct, Senator Geiger?
Yes, that's the program is not going to happen.
I believe you said that program is not going to happen. Is that right, Jim?
Right. That's that was proposed at one time as that we may have a solution for the Republic at large for that issue, but was not able to make that happen. So
very good. And so, in answer to the question, I would suggest you just Google Iraqi dinar or purchase Iraqi dinar, and you'll find companies who are engaged in that process. So that's outside the scope of the Republic.
That's correct. Thanks, Robert.
Okay. All right, Janine, next caller in the queue.
Great. We have Donald Moore. Go ahead, Donald. You have the floor.
Yeah, this is Donald Moore.
Indiana. Hi, Donald.
They said Indiana was green. I'm not sure about that. We've been accused of joining other outfits, which we never did. and there's 59 of us got kicked out the other day, and we're the ones that attend the meetings. And I don't understand it.
Very good, Donald. If you would send me an email at rrb.
I don't know how to send emails or nothing.
All right, if you could give me a call at 505.
Wait a minute, let me get me a pen. They want me to write a letter of resignation of some sort, which I don't know a thing. We've never joined nothing.
Very good, sir. What I can do, I think I can straighten that out for you. There was a lot of problems in Indiana. You got hit from about four or five different directions by nation states and Michigan Trust and everything else, so I believe I can help you with that.
But
my
all
numbers...
we did, I've never attended any other meetings except their own, and the speakers that they had in there, they had Michigan down one place, but we never joined them. I mean, they just there to, at our meeting, and because we signed in, they say we joined them.
Very good, sir. Like I said, we can get to that bottom of that. If you'll just give me a call at
505-716-2321. Who'd I ask for?
Rick Weiner. This is Rick Weiner at the Republic Records Bureau.
Rick Weiner, okay. And then another question I wanted to ask is the trust. Our trust is in Section 16. And in Section 16 was gave for the schools. And when it was gave for the schools, the Virginia, I believe it is, they no longer kept a record. And I've checked two places here in Indiana, and I cannot find it.
Very good, sir. We'll get to the bottom of that as soon as you and I can get together, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank you, Don. Our next comment or question is a website information error. From what I have read so far, my interest in your organization is piqued. I do have one thing to point out, not that I am OCD, but on your homepage, I believe you have a glaring error on the Revolutionary War dates highlighted below. America's victory in the war would almost have to be attributed to the Cromwell surrender, October 19, 1871, and the war was just heating up in 1776. I will check in a day or so to see if one, you are interested in being factual, and two, if to see if you are listening to us underlings. Who would be appropriate to forward this to follow this up with this email?
You can forward it to me, Robert. I can handle it, no problem.
Awesome. Consider it done. Janine, next caller.
Great. I have Joseph Orlando. Joseph, you have the floor.
Yes, this is Joe Orlando, Free State of Virginia. I am the Secretary of Agriculture here.
Hi, Joseph.
And hello. I would like to ask a question. We were talking earlier about IDs and recognitions. My wife is from the Philippines. It took us 2 years to get her into the United States. She has her green card. She has been here now for 2 years. And we would like to get her into the Republic, and we're wondering if, first of all, since she's not a citizen at this time, but is a permanent resident, can she join the Republic? And if she joins the Republic, is there a chance that that may hurt any possibilities for her remaining in the United States while the de facto is kind of heading up this project of keeping her here?
This is Jim Geiger.
Yeah.
May I answer the question?
Please,
yes,
Jim, go ahead.
That issue has been discussed at length on the Immigration Naturalization Committee. And at this point in time, there's no way that we can allow a non-U.S. citizen to Republic We're not in a position to be able to deal with immigration, but we are in a position to deal with naturalization. In other words, if you're a U.S. citizen already and you've already cleared that hurdle, then we can accept you as a member of the Republic. But we're not in a position right now as far as the opinion of the committee to be able to deal with immigration issues at this point in time. It may change in the near future with some of the international recognition that the president's talking about. At that point in time, we should be able, as a Congress, to readdress that particular issue. It is our desire to be able to be welcoming to everyone that we can, and that's a condition of that's the opinion of the committee right now. And of course, that's got to make its way through Congress, like I said before. So let me say one more thing before I yield the floor. Is there were some questions earlier about IDs, and that's one of the things that the people dearly deserve and desire. I can tell you that the Congress has been working on that diligently. If you notice, we passed the Flag Act, and now we're working on a Seal Act, so we'll have a flag and a seal. And the next piece of legislation we're also working on in parallel is the ASR, which in fact brings us into full-fledged citizenship, all of us, into the Republic. So in addition to the funding issues that the president talking about, and the executive branch is working on in terms of getting ready to have passports and getting ready to have IDs of the sort, Congress is working diligently to pave the way so that there won't be any roadblocks towards getting those IDs and those passports. Thank you.
Thank you, President Pro Tem. Okay.
Also, Robert, before we drop Joseph off there, Joseph, do you have the ability to email?
Yes.
If you would email Janine and I at rrb.admin, I'm sorry, RRBADMIN. What, Janine, I'm messing that up.
RRB.admin.
At
okay.
Republic of the United States.org. We have several people that have mates outside the U.S., and we're keeping a file on that and keeping you informed. So if you would please do that, that way we have the ability to contact you. And I have entered your name and phone number in our database for your special circumstance, sir.
Terrific. Now, that is rrb.admin at Republic of the United States or for the United States?
Of the United States.
Dot org.
Yes, sir. You've got it, Joseph. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
Very good. So it's all in the works here. We have one final caller in the queue, 402.
Cell phone, Nebraska cell phone, go ahead. Nebraska, yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, great. Is Tim still on?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, President Turner. This is Mia Taylor from Nebraska. How are you?
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm good. The question I have this evening, and I'm not sure if what was spoken about in reference to the senators and investigation committees, but there's been some things put forth that you received around Christmas. And I received an email back from you saying that there were some things that were to be investigated. And that hasn't happened. And so I just wanted to ask you personally and as a member of the Republic, where we stand on that.
I would have to look at the email again. We have been through so many things since then. I'm not sure. I would have to go back and look at it to see exactly what you were referring to.
Okay. Well, there was a one gentleman by the name of Mike Halsky, who's a member of the Republic, received a call from Nathan Peachy.
Yeah.
And apparently he was at work, and he was the email that I received had mentioned, the one from you had mentioned that Nathan would be investigating it.
Okay. Over to him.
No call ever made after that.
Okay. Well, I turned it over to him for investigation then. And I would just have to go back and look and see where he's at on that.
Okay, because things have escalated to a pretty high security level. And I would really like to get it addressed as soon as possible, because it's not just on my end, but there's many other people involved that are outside of the Republic who are having their lives threatened by people in the Republic.
Well, we need to know about that. You need to send me an update to my email address and let me check into that. We don't want that going on.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay, well, thank you very much for your hard work. God bless you.
And Mia, if you would copy us at the rrb.admin, I can contact Nathan and make sure that he and the president confer on that.
We don't support that, anybody threatening anybody.
Well, there's
all right. If you're having people with their lives being threatened, I will turn that over to people in the Department of Justice and FBI that'll deal with that. We don't tolerate that.
Okay. Well, I don't either, but we've been needing some help for some time. I'm sorry, what was the email address you wanted? Someone else had mentioned an email address they want that sent to.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Janine. You got a better voice.
rrb.admin at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay, and are you saying robertbravo.admin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you, Mia.
My blessings.
Robert, we do have one other call in the queue. And that is from Missouri. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Larry Walther. Somebody was looking up the legal team email address. I wondered if we had gotten that, because I was interested in that.
I believe Rick was looking that up.
And Larry, if you would stay on the line, I will also invite you to close us in prayer, too, if you would.
Okay.
Make sure we didn't lose
here?
Rick. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was talking to you. You weren't talking back. it is American Justice Gate at yahoo.com for right this minute. So that's the full word American, the full word justice, singular, and the full word gate, like a swinging gate, at yahoo.com. Did that come across clearly, Janine?
Yes, it did.
So is that clear that any legal questions or questions of support from the legal team should be addressed to that email address?
Yes, that there's more than one person monitoring that, so they're trying their best to get to it. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay. Let's put that on a post-it on my computer.
And Larry, thank you for reminding me of that. I've had it sitting here and forgot all about it.
More than welcome.
All right. Are there any closing questions or comments, I'm sorry, from anyone? President Tim, would you like to make any closing comments?
I'd just like to thank everybody for their participation in the call. Anyone that has questions, that are asking questions out there, asking them to come on the call and propose their questions, and we'll do our best to answer them truthfully and completely. And God bless everyone. You have a wonderful night.
Or email them at any time, and that way Robert can take care of them just like he's doing.
And that's at questions at the Republic of the United States.org.
This is Jim Geiger.
Go ahead, Jim.
Rick, could you give out the information on how people can donate to the SEAL?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for reminding me of that, too. I did have that note from your earlier comment. Yes, the actual, if you're writing a check or a money order, the simplest way for us to take care of that is Republic, the word Republic of the USA, the initials USA, and then a space HT, stands for Humanitarian Trust. So that would be Republic of the USA HT. The mailing address would be 109 South, direction South, Orchard, just like an apple orchard, O-R-C-H-A-R-D, Avenue, A-V-E. The city is Farmington, just like it sounds, Farm, I-N-G-T-O-N, New Mexico. And the funny thing is, my postman here tells me if you put the zip code 87401 on it in brackets, he says that mail will get to me one day earlier. He says if without the zip code, it goes into a file that they have to look it up, and they have to print it on there themselves, and then it goes back into their system right now here in Farmington. So by putting it in brackets, it literally isn't on the letter, but it sure does help them. Was that pretty clear, Jim? Did you hear it okay?
Yes, I did, and I just want to remind everybody this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to participate in a very big way in the refounding of this republic, and that you'll be able to share with your children and your grandchildren. You have to pay for the new seal. One of the it was a rep or a congressman or a senator that pointed out that they were going to give $17.17 as a donation from themselves just to stand for 1776. So anyway, that's one suggestion from one of the individuals in Congress that I thought was a very good idea. If all of us around the Republic would at least give that amount, it would go a long way towards the funding of the SEAL.
Well, Jim, we could do $177.60 or $1,776. Not to
Absolutely.
Limit anyone, you know.
You go, Robert.
One
just,
other thing, Robert.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So it's just zeros anyway.
It's just zeros.
Yes, sir. One other thing I forgot to say to make it clear, we do have general donations come to that same area. But if you would put on either, you know, at the bottom of the money order or the check, if you would put on their Republic seal, then it goes strictly into that particular fund. And we keep a very good log and record of that.
Very good. So I'm so glad you're bringing this up again, that folks can donate to the Republic and that we do have that avenue established. We talked about it, I think, about, what was it, the end of last year?
Yep, I think you're right.
Very good. Okay, Larry, if we have no other comments from those who have been guests on the call, we thank you all very much for taking your time. I know you're all very busy. Thank all of you who have been listening to the call. Your feedback is welcome. Your input is encouraged. And Larry, if you would please close us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're humbled and excited and really pretty amazed that you invite us to participate in what you are doing. And we accept that invitation humbly and ask for your help. Thank you so much that you're so loving and kind and that you are so merciful and so gracious toward us. Thank you for being with us, being true to your word, and never leaving us or forsaking us. We ask again for your protection and your blessing on our efforts to restore the Republic. Be with your people and give us strength and courage, and bless us, we pray, and give us a good evening and a good week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you all very much. God bless you all, and God willing, we'll see you next week. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And seek God's face, seek his guidance as you go about your week, and know that opposition is par for the course. Good night, all.
Good night.
And guide her.